proceed to the next case, which is United States versus William Painter.
May it please the court.
Ms. Benjamin?
Yes, Your Honor. Allison Benjamin for Appellant Tankersley. Your Honor, Appellant Tankersley contends that Count 1, Counts 2 through 17, and Counts 18 through 27 violate the double jeopardy provision of the United States Constitution by punishing Tankersley twice for the same offense. If you look at what constitutes the same offense for double jeopardy purposes, both the FTC complaint in this matter and the currently pending criminal indictment encompass the same time period from 1991 till February 1998. In addition, the FTC complaint alleged consumer fraud for all consumers during this time period. That would also encompass then every consumer in the currently pending indictment. If you look to Title 15, Section 45A, under which the FTC brought the civil complaint, it's an all-encompassing provision. It encompasses all unfair methods of competition in or affecting commerce and any unfair or deceptive acts or practices in or affecting commerce, and it declares them unlawful.
Didn't the FTC proceeding, I guess the amount of money that the $28 million or something like that?
Correct, Your Honor. It was slightly over $28
million. Yeah, but if that's viewed as just remedial or restitutionary, then it's not punishment. Correct,
but it's not simply remedial, Your Honor. When looking,
how much was involved?
Approximately $28 million. It's slightly over that, Your Honor.
Yeah, no. I mean, if you're engaged in a fraud and you get $28 million, you're ordered to repay that.
Correct.
In this agency proceeding.
Correct, and that's
not punishment.
That's what the civil court ordered. They ordered it as restitution and equitable disgorgement in the civil case under the summary judgment. However, when you're in order to enforce that, the district court in the FTC civil complaint seized every one of Tankersley's personal and real assets. In addition, they seized the personal and real assets of Tankersley's wife, Linda Tankersley, leaving them with absolutely no financial resources. And when you look at the impact of that, it does constitute punishment. It puts them in a debtor's prison. And if you look at Newsom, Your Honor, which is a case which talks about restitution in criminal cases, it talks about, in saying that restitution in criminal cases is remedial in effect and restitution and it's not punishment, they say financial status is relevant in determining and fixing a payment schedule for restitution. And part of the reasoning in that case as to why restitution was not punitive in nature was because the statute didn't provide for it to become a debtor's prison. Instead, the statute provided for a payment schedule based on the court's determination of the defendant's status. In this case, there was no determination of Tankersley's status. Every asset, real and personal, was seized. And if you look at the writ of execution,
was the $28 million unreasonable? Was that not an accurate figure? I didn't see anybody challenging that.
No, Your Honor. There's no challenge to the reasonableness of that figure. That was brought under a different appeal under the FTC civil case in which the award of the $28 million of restitution was upheld by the Seventh Circuit.
Yeah, so we've got $28 million that then, and I understand that was net.
Correct.
Yeah, I guess what baffles me is how somebody could make that much money on this scheme that apparently they did. So now the money has been gathered in by your client or and whoever's working with him, and now they want it back. And you'd say, well, he doesn't have it, so therefore it's punitive. But it's really just giving back what he took, as opposed to some punitive damage to punish him to deter somebody and him or anybody else from doing it again.
But it goes beyond that. in order to satisfy the FTC civil judgment, the court ordered the seizure of all real and personal property. They ordered the seizure of his clothing. They ordered the seizure of personal items. They ordered the seizure of silverware, of cookware, in order to satisfy that judgment. That
But hypothetically, if he had $100 million worth of assets, they would only seize 28.
Hypothetically, yes, but that's not what happened in this situation. In this situation, every item, it would include the socks on his feet pursuant to this order to be seized, Your Honor. You see, silverware, cookware, artwork, made no distinction whether it were the artwork consisted of personal photographs, family photo albums, none of that. Every single item that he possessed in the world was seized.
How did he make money, though? Didn't he buy a yacht after all this stuff was going on?
He did buy a yacht.
$50,000?
That was a transfer of money. What happened in essence is there are two time periods that we're talking about here. We're talking about the time period in which October of 2000, when the civil summary judgment order as to damages came down. Then there was a time period between October 2000 and February 9th of 2001. During that period, Tankersley was not in compliance with the civil court order to turn over every single one of his assets. On February 9th, the district court then determined he was not in compliance, found him in contempt, and then again issued an order seizing every one of his assets, and specifically enumerating that his assets were to include, you know, all the personal and the real property, including the silverware, the cookware, the china, the clothing. Personal papers were ordered seized as a result of that order. And from that point on, it was in between that time period that we're talking about the yacht. In this case.
And also, didn't he try to transfer $1 million to the Bahamas or something?
That was an allegation, Your Honor. And actually, there's allegations of that in the currently pending indictment as part of the conspiracy alleged. And when you look towards the punishment and whether it constituted punishment, and looking at the factors enumerated by Kennedy, Mendoza, Martinez, you look first to whether the sanction involved an affirmative disability and restraint. In Your Honor, Tankersley's position is that there is no more affirmative disability or restraint than seizing every single personal asset in order to satisfy the restitution judgment. Instead of ordering, what the court could have done is ordered a payment schedule. It could have seized some items and left payments for the remainder of the restitution pending a payment plan or structure, but it didn't do that. It didn't do what the criminal sentencing guidelines provide for. Instead, it seized every single item that he had. There is no greater affirmative disability or restraint than the seizure of every single item that a person owns. Your Honor, when you look towards whether the sanction has been historically regarded as punishment under the Kennedy, Mendoza, Martinez factors, again, stripping Tankersley and his wife of all real and personal assets constituted punishment, if you will, a debtor's imprisonment.
Well, now, the $28 million, you object to that also, don't you? Just the fact that they're trying to recover that much when he doesn't have that much?
We're not objecting to that, Your Honor.
And why is it, if you're not objecting to the $28 million, clearly, logically, or perhaps obviously, however you want to put it, he doesn't have $28 million in cash somewhere. He's got yachts, he's got paintings, he's got clothes, he's got this and that, so they're trying to recover some of that. Is that that punishment as opposed to just part of this recovery?
When you go about recovering the $28 million in a way that seizes the clothes off a person's back and leaves them with nothing in the world,
let's not talk about the socks and the clothes on his back. Let's talk about the paintings and the yacht and the silverware and some other things that are obviously quite valuable. Is that a measure that's not reasonable? Let's talk about something bigger than the clothes on his back and the socks on his feet. Valuable items that are out there.
In respect to seizing all the valuable items out there, not the socks, not the silverware and the china.
Silverware and china.
In some respects, It is punishment, Your Honor, because before that happened, there was no determination as to his financial status. And what Newman tells us is that in order for the restitution not to be punitive, that there has to be some type of determination as to his financial status. And that simply did not occur.
So that determination should conclude that he has less than $28 million in the bank, therefore he can go after other assets. Is that what you mean?
What I mean is that that determination should have entailed how much money he had under the bank, but not seizing everything. It should have left some financial resources in order for himself to provide food, clothing, and shelter for himself and for his wife. And absent making those provisions in the order, it does become punitive.
Okay.
I would reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
Okay, I'll give you a minute.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Ms. Meltzer?
May it please the court, the government's going to be very brief. I think that there is a long line of authority post-Dixon in the Seventh Circuit that clearly supports the district court's denial of the motion to dismiss the mail, wire, and conspiracy counts of this indictment. I think that any way this court looks at it, it has to conclude that the permanent injunction, the occupational ban, and the $28 million consumer redress that was ordered by the district court is not punishment in this case, and that the indictment in this matter can stand. The $28 million figure was, as appellant conceded, never challenged before the Seventh Circuit as being unreasonable. It's simply the amount of net injury to the consumers in this case. The district court found, overwhelmingly, that Mr. Tankersley and his corporations had taken in, I believe, about $29 or $30 million and returned a small amount to consumers when they complained. So the $28 million is simply the net amount that he took in minus the small amount that had been returned to consumers. The fact that all of his assets were seized was solely to make the victims in this case whole, to restore them to the position that they were in before Mr. Tankersley defrauded them. I am unaware of any authority that says that they have to determine his financial status first. It was plain that Mr. Tankersley did not have $28 million in the bank, and the only way of satisfying that judgment in all was to seize his assets. Unless the court has any questions, the government will rest on its brief in this case.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks. I'll give you a minute to say what you got to say.
I would point to the last factor in the Hudson analysis, which determines whether it appears excessive in relation to the alternative non-punitive purpose assigned. And if you look at this case, the $28 million, which involves the seizure of all real and personal property, is capable of tipping the balance in extreme cases such as this. And Justice Stevens' concurrence in Hudson points to this fact. When you look at what was seized and its effect upon the ability of Appellant Tankersley and his wife to function in the world, it becomes punitive. The seizure of all the personal furnishings, the furniture, the jewelry, everything, irrespective of where their next meal was going to come from, becomes punitive, and it became punitive in this case.
Okay, fine. This case will be taken under advisement. And I guess you were court appointed as well, right?
Yes.
Well, thanks for taking the assignment and the work on behalf of your clients.
Thank you.